الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فما بعد فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My respected brothers, elders and sisters, I'm sure we all remember our school and college days when we studied for the whole year, and at the end of that we sat for an exam in which we were asked about what we studied. And the source of our attention was that we did not know what questions we would be asked. And we would have been very happy if somehow this question paper had been leaked to us. And if we knew, if we had known those questions in advance, because then we would be sure that we would pass that exam. Now, how about I tell you about an exam that is far more important, because it is the final one after which there will be no more exams. And if we pass that and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to decree that we pass it with flying colors, we will be home and dry forever in Jannah, inshallah. And what is more, we have already been given the questions that we will be asked. Now what more can we ask for? All we need to do is to keep those questions in mind in our daily decisions, actions and situations that we might find ourselves in. And then on the day of the exam, there will be nothing to fear, inshallah, and we can look forward to the mercy of the one who is the most merciful. Now, what are those questions? There are two sets of questions, because they deal with two critical matters. One, the first set of questions has to deals with who did we try to please in this life. Questions of Aqidah. What did we believe in? Who did we try to please? And the second set of questions is, what did we do to please Him? Which is our amal, our actions. Inshallah, we'll deal with the first set this Jummah and the second set next Jummah, inshallah. It was narrated that Hani radiallahu anhu, the freed slave of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, he said that when Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu stood by a grave, he would weep until his beard became wet. And it was said to him, they asked him, you remember Jannah and Jahannam and you do not weep, but you weep for this. And he radiallahu anhu said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam said, the grave is the first of the stages of the akhirah. The grave is the first stage of the stages of the hereafter. Whoever is saved from it, whatever comes afterwards will be easier for him. And if he is not saved from it, then whatever comes afterwards will be worse for him. It is said that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, when he used to recite or narrate this hadith, he would weep. The key, my brothers and sisters, is to get the reality of the knowledge. What I told you just now, what I have, may Allah protect me from myself, is information. It is not knowledge. Do not imagine that you have the knowledge of this hadith. I do not have the knowledge of this hadith. If I had the knowledge of this hadith, I would be weeping. Not acting like weeping, which would be nifaq, but real tears. Because then I would remember my time in this qabr and say, what is going to happen to me? And if Allah decrees that I die here, then some of you will put me in my qabr here. What will happen to me then? But all I have is information. May Allah protect me from myself. What we need is knowledge, and knowledge is when this information, istihzarul ilm, when this information becomes part of our lives, when it becomes real for us. That is what Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi and people like him had. So when they recited or narrated the hadith, they were not simply giving information, they were living that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another hadith in Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, I have never seen anything frightening, but the grave is more frightening than that. I've never seen anything frightening, but the grave is more frightening than that. And that is where we will face the first set of questions, the questions about our aqidah, our creed, which is what we believe in. Narrated Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu, we went out with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, accompanying the janazah of a man of the Ansar. We reached the cemetery. When we reached there, his grave had not yet been dug. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat down and we sat down around him, as if there were birds on our heads, meaning they sat so still. This is from the adab of the majlis, that when you are with the teacher, when you are with the sheikh, you do not do things which distract, you do not fidget, you do not make even unnecessary movements. It is the adab of the Rasul alayhi salam, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the sahaba used to sit as if they had been, as if they were pegs which were dug into the ground, they wouldn't move. Birds on the head means that if there is a bird perched on my head, I wouldn't move because I don't want the bird to fly away. That is the level of adab of the Rasul alayhi salam, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the sahaba used to exhibit. So he said that we sat down around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we sat so still as if we had birds on our heads. And he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a stick in his hand and he was scratching on the ground with that. And then he raised his head and he said, seek refuge with Allah from the punishment of the grave. He said, seek refuge with Allah from the punishment of the grave. And he said this two or three times. And then he said that he hears the beat of their sandals, meaning the person who has died, who has been put into the grave, he hears the footsteps of those who go away. He said he hears the beat of their sandals, of those who came to bury him, when they go back. And at that moment, two angels will come to him and they will make him sit up and they will ask him, who is your Rabb? Man Rabbuk? Who is your Rabb? And he will reply, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu decree that we reply that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us isti'anat and he gives us strength. He will say, Rabbi Allah. He will say, my Rabb is Allah. And then they will ask him, ma deenuk? They will say, what is your religion? What is your deen? And he will say, deen Islam. He will say, my deen is Islam. And then they will ask him, what is your opinion about the man who was sent among you? And he will say, huwa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He said, he was the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that is not a question of answering, this is not a question of simply memorizing these questions and imagining that this will happen. This will happen if we believed in that. I will say my deen is Islam if I lived by Islam. I will not be able to say my deen is Islam if I spent my whole life living a life which was against Islam. I will not be able to say Rabbi Allah when I spend my whole life disobeying Allah. I will not be able to say that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam was the Rasul of Allah and I was his muttabi, I was his ummati, that I followed him, if I actually did not follow him, if I went against the sunnah. And then they will ask, who made you aware of this? And he will say, I read the book of Allah and I believed in it and considered it to be true. And this is verified by the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu in Surah Ibrahim,
وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى ثالث يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ويضل الله الظالمين ويفعل الله ما يشاء. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the believer steadfast with the firm word of faith in this worldly life and in the hereafter. And he leaves the wrongdoers to stray, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what he wills. And then a crier will call from the heavens, my slave has spoken the truth. So spread a bed for him from Jannah and clothe him with clothes from the Jannah. And open a door for him into the Jannah. And so some of the air of the Jannah will flow into the Qabr. And some of the perfume of the Jannah will flow into the Qabr. And the Qabr will be expanded and the space will be made for him as far as the eye can see. And this is in Sunan Abi Dawud. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu to decree that this be done for us inshaAllah. And that this be done for all those of us who have passed away. My brothers and sisters, these are the questions that deal with our creed, our aqidah, the aqidah of Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the risala of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam as the last and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after whom there is no other messenger and no other prophet, no Nabi and no Rasul. It is the aqidah which, if we live by it, will result in a sleep of such tranquility and peace that nobody will disturb us until we are awakened on the Day of Judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decree that we are with Rasulullah sallallahu and his sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, and are granted the shade of his arsh on a day when there will be no shade except his shade. For that to happen, we must ask ourselves if there is any shirk or bid'at in our lives. And in our customs and practices that we have become accustomed to. And if there is, we must clean it. If it is not there, then we must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and guard strictly against it to our last day. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that shaitan never rests. Shaitan does not go on holidays. There's no vacation he takes. He doesn't sleep. He's constantly engaged in his activity. And that is why we need to guard against that. There is a famous story about Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi. His son Abdullah ibn Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi said, when death approached my father, I sat with him and in my hand was a scrap of cloth with which I wanted to tie his beard. And he began to drift in and out of consciousness. And when he opened his eyes, he would say, indicating with his hand, no, not yet, not yet. And he repeated this two or three times. And after the third repetition, I said to him, oh my father, what is this thing that you are saying? You fall into unconsciousness, so we think that you have gone. And then you come back to consciousness and you say, not yet, not yet. What is this? Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi said to his son, he said, don't you know? Can't you see? His son said, no, I can't see anything. He says, Shaitan, may Allah curse him, stood before me. He lowered himself on his knuckles and he said to me, oh Ahmad, you escaped me. Oh Ahmad, you escaped me. And I'm saying to him, not yet, not yet, until I die. Not yet, until I die. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us firm until we die. It's only those who have died on the haqq who are safe. And this is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, his qawl. May Allah bless the one who reminded me of that this morning. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, follow the ones who have died. They asked him, what is the meaning of follow the ones who have died? He said, because those who died on haqq, they are safe. The one who is alive, he is open to fitna until he dies. No matter what it is, no matter how big, no matter how pious, no matter how powerful, no matter how what. He is open to test and is open to fitna, he is open to misguidance until he dies. And if he dies without that and Allah saves him from it, and he dies on the haqq, then he is safe inshallah. So he said, follow those who have died because they are safe. My brothers and sisters, but let us remember We always speak with hope, alhamdulillah. And let us remember that our love, our Allah, our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, who are Rahmanur Rahim. And He is the one who promised to protect the one who seeks His protection. So we say, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His slave, He protects him from harm. In the Hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever harms a wali of mine, I declare war against him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war only against two people. One who tries to harm his wali, his favorite slave. And the second one is the one who deals with interest. Only two people against whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war. The one who tries to harm his wali and the one who deals with interest, with riba. So in the Hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever harms or tries to harm a wali of mine, I declare war against him. My abd, my slave, my worshipper does not draw closer to me with anything dearer to me than the religious duties, than the fara'id that I have mandated upon him. And my abd continues to draw closer to me with the nawafil, with the voluntary acts of worship until I love him. And when I love him, I become the ears with which he hears, his eyes with which he sees, his hand with which he strikes and holds, and his foot with which he walks. Would he then ask me for anything, I surely will grant it to him. And would he seek refuge in me, my protection, I will surely shelter him. I do not hesitate in anything I have to do as I hesitate in taking the life of my believing slave, my believing abd. He hates death and I hate to hurt him. And this is in Bukhari. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however, makes this transition easy on the slave by showing him karamat, by showing him things and signs which make him wish for his soul to depart more quickly, which make him wish for the meeting with Allah. Rasulullah said that verily when death descends upon a believer and he witnesses things implying the forthcoming rewards, he wishes that his soul would depart quickly, and because he knows that his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu loves to meet him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us this in the Quran as well, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِي لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعْمَلِهِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Tahrim, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets forth and gives you an example of the believers, the wife of Fir'aun, who made this dua and she said, my Rabb, build me a house in Jannah near you and deliver me from Fir'aun and his evil doing and save me from the wrongdoing people. Rasulullah said that where she was dying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed her this house. Allah granted her dua and he showed her what he built for her as her soul was leaving her body. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us and comforted the believers about the time when every single one of us will be afraid. Every single body, no matter what your status, at that time we will all be afraid because we will be facing a future that we don't know about. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted us and he said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحَزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ نُزُلًا مِّنْ غَفُورِ الرَّحِيمِ. In Surah Fussilat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, verily those who say, our Rabb is Allah, قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. That is the key. That is the key. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Not only قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ, قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Who say Allah is my Rabb and then they have istiqamat on that and they are steadfast on that. Meaning if Allah is my Rabb, then I will live my entire life in a way which pleases my Rabb and I will not do anything which displeases my Rabb. This is the meaning of istiqamat. on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on accepting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our Rabb. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, on them the angels will descend at the time of their death. And they will say, fear not, nor grieve. But receive the glad tidings of Jannah which you have been promised. At the time of death, the bashara of Jannah will be given by the malaika. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree this for every single one of us, inshaAllah. And for all the Muslimin. And they will say, we have been your, nanu awliyakum fil hayati dunya wa fil akhirah. We have been your awliya, your protectors, your friends in this life of this world, and are going to be like that in the hereafter, in the akhirah. And therein, in the akhirah, you will have whatever you desire. Whatever your inner self, your nafs desires. And therein you will have all which you ask for. And this is nuzul. Nuzulam min ghafur rahim. That is the welcome to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ghafur rahim. For a mu'min, the death is the happiest event of his life. It is what he has been waiting for. And it is what he has been working for all his life. And it is what guided his whole life. And so he looks forward to it, because to die means to meet Allah. One of the students, Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi, came to him and he was sad. So he said, what happened? He said, my friend died. He said, was he on the sunnah? Yeah, see the question. He didn't say, do you have iman? He said, was he on the sunnah? This man said, alhamdulillah, yes. He said, then rejoice. Don't be sad. He said, be happy. Because now he has met his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. This is what he was waiting for. Allah is rewarding him. Why are you crying? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this the reality for us, inshaAllah. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, قال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself in you that this life is a test to pass for Jannah. The difficulties in it are a test. The ease and plenty, wealth and power are bigger tests. Because in pain, everybody remembers Allah. In need, everyone remembers Allah. But in plenty, we forget Him. Life is not a place for us to enjoy in heedlessness. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu reports that once Rasulullah passed by a man, by a Bedouin, who was praying and he was making this dua. And he said in this dua, the man said, Ya man la tara'u al-uyun, wa la tukhalituhu al-zunun, wa la yasifuhu al-wasifun, wa la tughayyuruhu al-hawadith, wa la yakhsha al-dawair, wa ya'lamu masaqil al-jibal, wa makail al-bihar. وعدد قطر الأمطار وعدد ورق الأشجار وعدد ما ظلم عليه الليل وأشرق عليه النهار ولا تواري منه سماء سماء والأرض أرضا والبحر ما في قعره ولا جبل ما في وعاره اجعل خير عموري آخره وخير عملي خواتمه وخير أيامي يوم ألقاك فيه. Which means he said, oh, the one whom eyes cannot see, who cannot be imagined, who is beyond description, who is unaffected by happenings, who cannot be overwhelmed by the twists and turns of time, who knows the weight of mountains, the volume of the oceans, The number of falling raindrops, the number of leaves on the trees, and everything upon which the night darkens and upon which the day brightens. No sky can hide another from him. No surface of the earth can hide another from him. No ocean can hide anything within its depths from him. No mountain can conceal from him anything within its rocks. Make the last part of my life the best. Make the last part of my life the best. Make the best of my deeds the last. And make my best day be the one in which I meet you. I have this dua for all of you, inshallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed somebody to bring this man to him as soon as he finished his salah. And when he came, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been given some gold from a mine. He gave the gold to this man. And he asked him, he said, which tribe are you from? He said, I am from the Banu Amir bin Sa'sa. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, do you know why I gave you this gold? He said, Ya Rasulullah, because we are related, the Quraysh and Banu Amr bin Sa'sa. He said, because we have family ties. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, I agree, maintaining of family ties is very important, but I did not give you the gold for that. He said, I gave you this because of the beautiful way in which you praised Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the kalimat, the words to praise him. Words that he wants to hear from us. This is like the hadith of the man, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the people of the past, there was a man who made this dua. He said, Rabbi laka alhamdu kama yambaghi li jalali wajik wa li azimi sultanik. The malaika, when they heard this dua, they went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. They said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rabbi, this slave of yours made this dua, Rabbi laka alhamdu. He praised you, he said, Rabbi laka alhamdu kama yambaghi li jalali wajik wa li azimi sultanik. Oh Allah, all praise and thanks are to you in keeping with the glory and magnificence of your countenance, of your blessed face, and in keeping with the glory and magnificence of your kingdom. They said, we have never heard this praise before. We never heard these words before. What is the reward that we should write for this man? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you be the witness that the man said this. Rabbi laka alhamdu kama yambaghi li jalali wajhika wa li azimi sultanik. And Allah said, I will reward him in keeping with my glory and majesty and in keeping with the glory and majesty of my kingdom. What is that reward? What is that reward? Who gave the man these words? Wallahi, some people are blessed. We ask Allah for this blessing. Who gave the man these words? Who taught the man to say this? Who made the malaika witness for this abd of Allah? My brothers and sisters, our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, his mercy, his forgiveness, we cannot even understand. All we need to do is to turn towards him. And to make istighfar and tawbah. And to the best of our ability, try to do what we can do. And the rest we leave to him. And to his forgiveness. Allahumma innaka afuwan kareem. Allahumma innaka afuwan tuhibbul afu fa'fu anna. My brothers and sisters, I remind you that this Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu is the one we worship. Who this man praised. This is the one we worship. Rejoice in this. Revel in this. Dance in the streets. That you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. There is no gift more than this. There is no ni'mah more than this. That Allah taught us to worship Him Jalla Jalaluhu. My brothers and sisters, one day, a day will come when others will do for us what we did for them. One day somebody will shut my eyes, the eyes that looked at my soul departing with the angels. One day somebody will bathe me. One day somebody will put me in my coffin, will shroud me. One day somebody will put me in my qabr. And then they will fill it up. And then they will walk away. I remind myself and you, let us live our lives in a way that when that happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors of His Jannah for us forever. And He will shut the doors of His Jahannam for us forever. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy and grace, for His forgiveness. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما آتيت وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك فإنه لا يضل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تبارك ربنا وتعاليت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر لنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم توفنا مسلما وألحقنا بالصالحين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار يا عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عدوا يستجيب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا الصلاة